I can tell you not only from my standpoint, but from hundreds and thousands of strong-willed kids that I've talked to, raising your voice and in anger, it almost never works. It doesn't have a positive effect on us. You can yell and scream, but now you've made yourself irrelevant, because I've already just shut down going, oh brother, here we go again. Your calm and firm voice is almost always going to have a much better effect than your anger.
Well, it is hard to control your temper when your child is testing your limits. And we'll have some helpful advice for you if that happened, oh, today or in the last day or two. This is Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller. And Jim, we cannot seem to talk about this topic enough, how to parent your strong-willed child.
Yeah, we can't, John. And it seems that every family is blessed with one, sometimes two. And if you have more than two, we'll be praying for you. But we want to talk about it, because strong-willed children, although they might be the greatest challenge in parenting, can often be the greatest blessings to the world. Mm-hmm. And we want to see it from that perspective. And we have welcomed two of my favorite people. First of all is Jean, my wife and best friend. Jean, it's great to have you on Focus on the Family.
Thank you. It's nice being here.
Now, the last time I invited you here, it was a show with Kathy Lipp about household organization.
To which you're not bringing that up again.
I am. I'm a glutton for punishment. But I remember you sitting at the table saying, why have you invited me to this one? So I apologize for that. I'll confess it right here. Today, with Cynthia Tobias, we do want to talk about that strong-willed child. Of course, we do have one. And Cynthia, it's wonderful to welcome you back to Focus on the Family.
It's always great to be here, and I'm delighted to be here with Jean.
Well, you know, what I love about you, Cynthia, is your story about being a police officer and a school teacher. I love that combination, because I think so often, I think, Jean, you would agree with me, that's kind of like what being a parent is like. You're a police officer as well as a teacher and hopefully a good parent. But that combination has really given you incredible perspective.
Yes, that's the least of it.
Not to mention the fact that you are admittedly a strong-willed individual.
That's right. Absolutely. It takes one to know one, and I have one. My mother prayed that would be so.
Now, you've written this book, and we've talked about it. The title is You Can't Make Me, But I Can Be Persuaded. If you have a strong-willed child, you know exactly what that title is saying.
That's right.
And as you said, Cynthia, you were one. And I'm not sure, as an adult, has that played out in your adult life as well?
Oh, yes. I'm afraid if you asked my husband, Jack, he would tell you. you don't outgrow it. I think you get much more mature and you learn to back off more than you did before when you were younger. Mm. But it never really leaves you.
It never leaves. You never grow out of the strong-willed persona.
I'm sure that's not true with your wife, though. She probably doesn't give you any problem as a strong-willed wife I give my husband.
I think, Jean, you would say that you're a strong-willed wife. I don't know that you're... Would you say in growing up you were the strong-willed child in your sibling group?
No, and I'm curious, Cynthia, because I am sorry to admit that I am a very strong-willed parent and wife. But I was a compliant child, and is that typical?
What birth order were you?
5 of 6. I had to be compliant. It was survival of the fittest, and I was not the fittest.
But she was definitely the brightest and the most
best.
Beautiful.
Oh, absolutely.
The best catch.
The best.
But a smart man.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, that's not unusual, I think, because I find a lot of adults who just kind of finally come into their own once they get away from home and realize, because you're valued for certain things and you are kind of surrounded by others that overpower you. So as a strong-willed person, you just decide, not worth it.
Let's talk about that million-dollar question that we set up at the top of the program. How does a parent restrain from that anger response and really come down to the firm voice? Because I think in the Christian community particularly, we are very much about the rules, and we're very much about doing well and doing the right things. And I think so often we as parents, we go to the anger well because we're frustrated by that strong-willed child and their inability to do what you've asked them to do. Where are we going wrong, and how do we get control of that?
Well, you want to start as early as possible. I mean, what we forget sometimes as parents is from the very beginning of my life with you as a child, I watch you, I imitate you, I learn how to be an adult through you. However much respect you pay me, however, whatever tone you use with me, that must be okay for me to use it back to you. And that's hard for us to remember, but it's absolutely true. And you can see it mirrored over and over and over again.
Ooh, that can be tough to really absorb though, Cynthia. What you're saying there is what you see in the reflection of your child may be your attitude that you've reflected toward them.
Yeah, especially if you're a strong-willed parent, because I've said more than once, oh, I can dish it out, but I can't take it. Mm-hmm. I forget for a minute, and that's when you really need that relationship. What you and focus, over and over, that's the foundation of everything. Relationship with Christ, relationship with our families, relationship with community. The relationship is everything, and especially for a strong-willed child. If you don't have a relationship with me that I want to keep, then you don't have any leverage. Because what's the upside? Mm.
Cynthia, we often talk about the negative traits of the strong-willed child. Their stubbornness, the arguing, the temper tantrums. But we need to also remember the positive traits they possess and how these perceived negatives really can be channeled into positive things later into life.
But I got, Jean, I got to say, with our strong-willed child, it's hard when that stubbornness is coming out and that defiant behaviors coming out to remember at that point, someday this child will be a leader. It's tough.
Absolutely. And it is difficult in the heat of the moment.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Especially that stubbornness, I know for me, can feel like disrespect and disobedience.
One of the things that diffused it faster than anything with my strong-willed child and has worked over and over, and this is almost magic, we've talked about this in prior broadcasts, is the sense of humor or the lightening up and the opportunity to give me as the strong-willed child a small little fire escape where I could gracefully back off, to say, are you trying to make me mad? And I get a chance to say, no. Oh, good, because for a minute I thought that you actually wanted that. And then, see, what that does is that allows me to back off for a minute or to say, whoa, wow, that was a good one. You're the master of a quick comeback. I think you and I both realize that wasn't appropriate. I can't let you get by with that. Love how your mind works, though. Boy, if I could just direct that. So you're going to hold me accountable because I wouldn't respect you if you didn't. But you're, instead of just jumping at me right away and saying, you better not say that again, you say, whoa, nice try. Are you trying to get in trouble? And Mike would say, no, is that where I'm going? Oh, yeah. And then we smile, and you give them just this brief moment of face saving that a strong-willed child has to have. Because when we're young, especially, and if I'm 13 years old and I'm a boy, I'm not even thinking about what I'm saying. You're thinking, what are you thinking? I don't have any idea what I'm thinking. So I just said it. And then I can either get in horrible trouble for it, or I can have my parents say, are you sure that's what you meant to say? No, what I actually meant to say was, see, and a lot of times, really like over 50% of the time, you will find even the strongest willed child backpedal a little and let you backpedal a little and give you the space. But you'll never find that, almost never, if you jump right in and go, you had just better not say, if I catch you saying that again, that is totally inappropriate. If you start that way, I have nowhere to go, right? But if you give me a chance to say, well, are you sure you want to ask the question that way? And smile.
That's really good.
Then it really works.
And Jim, you're good about that.
Well.
You are good about diffusing the situation with humor.
But I think with the parenting personalities, they play a great role in this, obviously. And I think for Jean and I, Jean is a very consistent, very black and white thinker. Her degree's in biochemistry and she's a scientist and we make pancakes on Saturday. She takes one cup of flour, takes a knife over the top of the measuring cup and it's got to be, is it down to the gram? I drive her crazy.
We don't even need that organization. Broadcast.
No, I just throw the pancake batter in and add enough water to make it consistent to where you want it. And I'm sure it drives you crazy, but those are some differences that play out in the parenting role, and that can really create divisiveness within the relationship between husband and wife where it plays out with the kids. And you don't want to take sides, but I think for Jean and I, that is one of the big issues, that she's very good at the clarion call, black and white. And she, I'm sure, looks at me sometimes and says, boy, that diffusing of the situation, you're kind of weak. Maybe a bit permissive.
Depending on how you do it. And you know, Jack, my husband, he's very non-intuitive, and he tells people, I'm non-intuitive. And he'll say, sometimes you just need to take a hold of either side of my face and look at me and say, Jack, this is what I need, or this is what you should do. And the way that translates in the parenting process with a strong-willed child, there's, if you're a non-intuitive parent and you don't really, the sense of humor doesn't come naturally, then the best thing to do, and I've talked to thousands of kids and they say this too, the best thing to do is to say, well, you know, I honestly don't know how I'm going to get through to you in a positive way. I don't know what to do. I need you to tell me, what am I supposed to be doing here? And again, you're not in a weak way saying, oh, I really wish I knew. And what I mean, because then we have to fight our urge to destroy you. Because if you're weak and tentative, we don't really want you to live, I mean, figuratively at least.
Well, certainly not control me.
No, and I mean, I need you to not be weak and tentative, but your openness and transparency with me, even as a younger child, saying, look, the bottom line is still the bottom line. I don't apologize for what I'm asking you to do. I think I might need a do-over in how I ask you to do it. And maybe you could help me figure out what I did wrong, because I still need you to get this. I need you to be here. So you get my respect, because that's the bottom line. But there's a lot to be said for just, you know, the non-intuitive parent saying, I wish I knew how to do this better. You tell me, how do I get you here? Because always I'm going to get you here.
And that's just an honest statement.
Yeah, and the honesty, we respond very well to honesty, much, much better than you trying to do your, you know, your yelling and screaming and threatening and all that. None of that makes any difference.
Let me go back to make sure we're hearing you correctly, because I think often when you have a strong-willed child, it's a quick flashpoint when they're defying you. You haven't given them the escape hatch like you talked about. How does a parent control that emotion?
Well, you know, I mean, here I have to admit there aren't a whole lot of things. There, one lady gave me a really good idea, and she said when her husband will say something outrageous to her, because I had a book for a while called Redefining the Strong-Willed Woman, and we had this chapter in here about nuclear battles, where sometimes if you say something to me, it's just like pushing the nuclear war button. There just isn't any way out of it. It's just not going to be diffused. We're both going to die. I'll go first, and we're both going to be destroyed. But so she said, if he says something really outrageous, I just say, I'm going to pretend like you didn't just say that, and then I walk away. And I thought, what a great idea. I've tried that a few times. It doesn't always work, but if you can even muster up the ability to say, I'm going to pretend like you didn't just say that, and just walk away and get a little space before we talk, then that, you know, communicates the fact that if I say anything else, I'm going to regret it.
I resonate with that, Cynthia, because I think even with our one strong-willed child, when he has been somewhat defiant and hasn't done what I've asked him to do, and we've had our little interaction, it's interesting that almost 100% of the time, in just a few minutes, he comes back to do what he was asked to do. It's almost like guilt has taken over and he's going, okay, it's reasonable.
But you know why that is, right? It wouldn't happen if you didn't have the relationship. And when you develop that relationship that you've already developed with him, and it is especially important during these middle school years, then he's actually going to give you grace. I found my son would give me grace at a time when I really did snap and I was just angry and didn't have, then he gave me a pass because he knows that's not what I always do. So the relationship actually allows you to not be the perfect parent.
Cynthia, just a moment ago you were saying something and my brain went to the, I'm not taking the bait. When you don't engage your child, when you say, I'm going to just pretend you didn't say that and walk away, how many times did your son follow you to keep the argument going? I mean, it feels to me like that happens a lot. They can't stand being shut down effectively when we say, I'm not going to argue with you about that.
Because you just took control away from me. Remember, those who anger you control you. And so I'm standing here angry, wanting to argue with you, and you refused. I couldn't lock on. And so
that's why you're getting
so I'm coming back after you, and then you're saying, look, nice try. As soon as we both calm down, and you can speak to me in a calm voice, and I'm going to talk to you, but I can't trust myself, and I still don't hear your calm voice. Let's just give it a few minutes. Mm. And so, again, you just don't take the bait because you'll lose. Mm. I have a question for Jean. Do you find because you said that Jim's got more of a natural sense of humor, and you have more maybe of a more analytic bent, and things are the way they are.
Yes.
What are the differences in how Trent relates to you and relates to his dad?
Well, and this is the entire irony behind your book, that those of us who parent strong-willed children with that bony finger pointing in their faces saying, you need to do this now, we know it doesn't work. And yet, that's why we need broadcasts like this and books like yours, and need to practice, really need to practice and role play, because it doesn't work. And we all know those strong-willed kids just dig in and it escalates and nothing is accomplished. Jim, with his humor and with his calm demeanor, our son responds so well to that.
But you're probably like my husband. You get frustrated that it
yes.
doesn't come naturally.
Yes.
And that's where we can really offer hope to parents. One of the things I tell in my seminars and with the books, too, is say, you give something 3 to 5 years of having to practice it on purpose. But somewhere around the 3-year mark after doing that, it notches in finally. Even
yes.
for someone non-intuitive, it will notch in. It notches in for you immediately because you're on the same wavelength. But for Gene, it's notching in. Out of practice.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I can almost remember the day that I became calmer about it. And looking back when Trent was probably somewhere around 5, and he, you know, it's already happening. It certainly happened before that. I mean, it was whether yeah. it was brushing his teeth or washing his hair. It's just, I was thinking to myself, why does this thing keep occurring? And I remember just taking a deep breath almost and backing off and saying, okay, this is it. And we got to find different ways to connect. And my great concern, Cynthia, and again, what I see, which is so common in the Christian community, my desire for those rules to be followed and for the respect to be there could do great damage to the bond of love that we have. And I just sensed if I lost mm-hmm. that, I may lose everything. And I wanted to make sure and make
That's
a
right.
conscious effort to say, I love you. I don't like what you're doing right now, but you got to know I love you. In fact, there was one night that it really came out. I had to discipline him, and he went into his room, and I went, as I would normally do, I followed him into the room to assure him of my love and to hug him. And he was emotionally very distant. He did not feel it was appropriate. And I just remember he wouldn't speak to me. I would ask him a question, how are you feeling? And he'd just shake his head no. And I said, could you write down for me how you're feeling? He shook his head, yes. So oh, I trundled off and got the pen and paper, came back to his bedroom and gave him the pen and paper, which he took. And I said, okay, how do you feel? And he scribbled away. And then he showed me the tablet. And he said, I feel like when you discipline me, you don't love me.
Oh.
And I mean, man, it's I think that was the night that I really went, okay, I think I get it. And that changed my attitude toward those environments.
Right. And the communication, I mean, that's just, it's so critical. And yet we, as parents, especially even strong-willed parents, knowing, I mean, haven't you ever said something where right away you're thinking, I know he's not going to do it, and I never should have said that.
Mm. Oh, yes.
But I don't have a reverse gear, right? I don't
right.
have a reverse gear.
Right.
I have to drive around it now, and we have to do it the hard way. But it's just practice, and you never do it perfectly, and we're not supposed to. That God pours from his own pitcher, you know, filling in the gaps. But I think our strong-willed kids, they understand our heart better than most kids do even. They know when we're trying. They know when we're making a genuine effort, because I'm not just blowing smoke at you. I'm trying. We even have kids we'll watch, you know, some of the videos that I talk about strong-willed kids or the book, and we encourage parents to say, what do you think? Do you think she's right? You know, and they get a chance to go, yeah, that's how I feel. And so there's nothing secret about the book. You know, parents will say, oh, I don't want him to read it because then he'll know what I'm using on him. Well, I guarantee you, if you're using something on me, I'm going to already figure that out, even if I'm only 6 years old. So you're better off just coming clean and going, I read about this or I heard about this. I wanted to ask you because you're just a great strong-willed kid, you know, does this ring true with you, and what else can you tell me about it? We love to share that with you.
I love that in your book, Cynthia, that you talk about that, how allowing the strong-willed child to have some control over their lives is not losing the battle, essentially. Mm-hmm. I think some of us as parents can feel that way. If they don't do it our way, they don't do it the moment we ask them to do it, that we're losing the battle. And yet that is destructive. it is counterproductive. Mm-hmm. And I know you addressed that it is so important to engage that child, to ask them questions and to ask them, how do they think this should be done?
And one of my favorite examples when I was teaching, you know, I'd have a kid come up and go, I don't want to take a test. I'm not good at tests. I don't even want to take a test, and it's a stupid test. And I would say, that's okay. You don't have to take the test. You need to find some way to prove to me that you know what the 8 parts of speech are and how to use them. How would you like to do that? Never mind, I'll just do the test. But you know, it was one of those things where I'm going to push and I'm going to complain and I'm going to see if there's an option. And then I have the control to say, no, I'll just do it your way. But I said I would do it your way. And it's, you know, and again, you're right, Jim. There are going to be some very legalistic parents. And sometimes, you know, it's often that there's a very intuitive parent married to a non-intuitive parent. Or, you know, one of the spouses is very strong on discipline and black and white, and one is not. And there can be that clash where you really have to say, look, can we just agree on what the accountability is? What are we trying to accomplish? And then could we ease up on sometimes on how they get there, but still insist they get there?
Let me ask you this question, not related to the child, but to the parents. How do the parents tolerate each other and really get on the same page, even though they're going to do things differently? How do you go about doing that?
Well, and again, it's you start at the end saying, what are we trying? Bottom line is what here? You know, the bottom line is we need a curfew, right? Or the bottom line is this, how do we get there? And, well, we get there by telling him what the curfew is going to be and telling him what the punishment is. That's why we get there. Well, but if that doesn't work, how are we still going to have that? And, you know, I think you have to kind of work it out with each other before you ever approach your strong-willed child. Because otherwise, as a strong-willed kid, we can play you. We figure that out really fast and really early, how to play you against each other. Mm-hmm. And don't let us do that.
We had one person who called in to Focus on the Family here and talked about her 11-year-old son, who's a strong-willed child. And she said, you know, he's bossy, seeks out attention, and has even been caught stealing and then lying about it. What can this mom do? Let's talk about a single-parent mom. Just put it in that category. How does a mom engage that strong-willed child about that behavior? What advice would you give her?
Again, when it comes to single parenting, especially, and it depends, you know, are you the intuitive one or the non-intuitive one? Your need for transparency and honesty is stronger than ever to say, look, you know, I can't do this by myself. And one of the things you can appeal to me as a strong-willed child, in me there is a strong sense of protection of those who can't do for themselves, someone who's been persecuted, someone who's being mistreated. I will champion the cause for them. So if it's my own parent who admits a weakness to some extent and my need, I do better with compelling problems to solve than with chores to do. So pose it to me with a compelling problem. Here is my problem. I don't know how to. And then challenge me as the strong-willed child to help you solve it. I'll own it. I'll do more than you thought I would do. And that teaches me responsibility and increases our relationship.
Mm. Today we're talking with Cynthia Tobias, author of the book, You Can't Make Me, But I Can Be Persuaded. Love that title. And my own wife, Jean Daly. Can we come back next time? I think there's still some questions that I'd love to unearth here that'll be helpful to the parents of the strong-willed child.
And I think we should have Jean more often.
Yeah, I agree. She's wonderful. But let's do that. Let's come back next time and keep the discussion going.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay.
And I'm sure we'll touch on a lot of other stories from Cynthia and some practical tools to use in dealing with and loving your strong-willed child. Now, Cynthia's book, You Can't Make Me, But I Can Be Persuaded, is a great companion to what you just heard. She's written about her own personal experiences and also included research from other parents of strong-willed children. And her message will help you focus on the relationship with your child. Find You Can't Make Me, But I Can Be Persuaded at your nearby bookseller or online retailer. And then stop by focusonthefamily.com/radio for additional helps. Our website is full of articles and trusted advice about parenting children of all ages and stages and personality types. That's focusonthefamily.com/radio. Our program was provided by Focus on the Family, and on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team here, thanks for listening in.
I'm John Fuller, inviting you back next time when we'll once again turn our hearts toward home.